The famous artist, Pablo Picasso, said, "Computers are useless. They can only give you answers." What did he mean by that? I think what he meant is that computers can give answers to questions that we feed it, but they can't ask questions. And that's a big difference. Because you see, the ability to ask questions is something that distinguishes us, human beings, from machines, and even from the rest of the animal kingdom. It is something that makes human beings unique. We're able to ponder our own being. We are self-aware. Now, without getting too technical, self-awareness is the awareness that one exists as an individual being. Let me give you a little more complicated definition. Hang on. Self-awareness gives one the option or choice to choose the thoughts being thought, rather than simply thinking the thoughts that are stimulated from the accumulative events leading up to the circumstances of the moment. Did you follow that? Or in other words, you are an individual being and you know you are. You are an individual being and you know you are. One of the more challenging times for a parent is when their child reaches that stage in their development when they begin to ask questions. I mean, it starts out innocent enough with them asking simple questions like, "Where are my shoes?" But the questions quickly become more complicated as they become more aware of their environment, of the world around them, of wanting to understand and control it. Because then they start asking questions like, "Why do I have to wear shoes? Why is the sky blue? But most importantly, why are you telling me what to do rather than me telling you what to do?" God created us unique from all of the other creatures on this planet. The Bible says that when God created the various kinds of life on this planet, he merely spoke it into being. That is true with everything but human beings. When God made us, he breathed the breath of life into us, it says, and we became a living being. God was intimately involved in our creation in a unique way, different from everything else he made in this world. The kind of creation we are is also unique, because the Bible says that we have been made in the image of God. We don't fully understand everything that means, being created in the image of God. But part of what that means is that God created us, you and me, to have a personal relationship with him. Now, imagine that. The God of the universe made you and me with the intention of having a personal relationship with us. The film, The Social Network, tells the somewhat fictionalized story of the founding of the social networking website, Facebook. I'm sure many of you even saw the film. The film's opening scene and the film's closing scene function as bookends that capture the heart of the story that lays underneath all of the other stuff that goes on in the film. The opening scene. Mark Zuckerberg's character is talking to his girlfriend at a table in a bar, trying to communicate with her, but he's failing badly. And he just keeps making one fumbled attempt after another until she gets mad and leaves him sitting at the table alone. He then goes back to his dorm room and in a fit of anger posts a stream of terribly mean, demeaning remarks about her on his personal blog. Well, and as you can guess, these remarks on his blog are eventually seen by her. She then refuses to have anything else to do with him ever, and understandably so. in the closing scene of the film. The Mark Zuckerberg character, now insanely wealthy and successful as the creator of Facebook, is shown sitting in front of his personal computer, logged into his personal Facebook account. And he sends this same woman, who was once his girlfriend back in college, a friend request. And then he keeps hitting the refresh button on his web browser again and again, hoping that she will respond and accept his friend request. The movie ends with us never knowing if she ever responds to his friend request. See, the human heart hungers for relationship. We have a deep need to connect. And all of the fame and the wealth that he had acquired couldn't make up for that. It couldn't fill or replace that need. He longed for reconciliation and relationship. See, there's an itch in the human heart that Facebook scratches. Now, I realize that part of the draw of Facebook is it provides a fun and convenient way for staying up to date and in touch with people we know. But I believe there's something deeper going on, too. Our need to connect, to be known, to be heard, to be seen, to matter, to belong, to be loved, are also part of what draws us. I mean, how else can you explain the odd need that people have of posting pictures of what they're eating? Or the dozens of other useless bits of information that we share as our status updates? Underneath all that, we're saying, I'm here. I'm here. I want someone to know that. I want someone to care about that. I want someone's attention. I want someone to care about me. I remember a number of years ago, all of the doomsday worrywarts were predicting that all of this personal tech was going to turn us all into pasty-skinned, red-eyed cave dwellers, living in isolation from the rest of the human race. Jacked in. But that hasn't happened. Instead, we've taken the technology and bent it to serve our needs and desires to connect and carry on relationships with one another more than ever. Through all of this personal tech, cell phones, computers, and all the rest of it, we're able to maintain almost a continuous stream of connectedness with other people. Why is this need for relationship, for connection, so strong in us? First, because we were made that way. We were made that way. As we talked about a moment ago, God created us for relationship. We're wired for relationship. Second, the need for relationship is so strong in us because the most important relationship that we were created to have, a relationship with God Himself, has been broken. See, that relationship is so important, so significant, and the loss of it has left such a huge hole in us that we are forever restless, longing for it, whether we're conscious of it or not. Our alienation, our feeling of disconnectedness, of aloneness, of isolation, of never being completely known and understood by anyone, is a result of our broken relationship with God. The famous mathematician and philosopher Blaise Pascal said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator made known through Jesus. Augustine expressed it this way: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." What broke our relationship with God? Our sin is what has broken our relationship with God. Now, some of you might have started to feel a little defensive when I said that. Like, whoa. But you don't need to feel defensive. Notice that I said our sin, which includes me and my sin. I'm no better than anyone else here today. Our sin has broken our relationship with God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In other words, every single human being that has ever lived on this planet has sinned and has failed to live up to the expectations God had for us. I don't think any of us need to be convinced about our sinfulness if we're really honest about it. In those quiet moments of reflection, we know the truth about ourselves. We know we aren't completely right. We know we're guilty. First John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." See, the only person we're deceiving when we claim not to have sinned is ourselves. Our friends know the truth. Our spouse knows the truth. Our kids know the truth. Our parents know the truth. Virtually anyone we've had any interaction with knows the truth. And God definitely knows the truth. Unfortunately, I need to tell you some more bad news before I can tell you the good news. See, not only has our sin broken our relationship with God, but the breaking of that relationship brought death into our world. We're dead spiritually because of our sin. We're all going to be dead physically eventually. And see, we don't have the power in ourselves to restore the broken relationship with God. We can't do enough good stuff to make up for the sins we've committed. Nor do we have the willpower in ourselves to even stop sinning. Our fate is sealed. Being dead spiritually, eventually dead physically, and being forever separated from God. Now the good news. Jesus Christ can save us from our terrible fate. Easter is a time when Christians all over the world celebrate what Jesus Christ has accomplished for the human race through his life, death, and resurrection. Here's the good news in a nutshell. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now I want us to note three things. First, God's love for us is what motivated him to do what he has done, giving us his own precious Son. God loves you. God loves you. And he was unwilling to leave us forever separated from him. The second thing I want us to note is that Jesus was not sent here on a mission of condemnation and judgment, but on a mission of rescue. We are condemned now. That's our present state. We are condemned. He came to rescue us from that fate. Third, We need to believe in Jesus Christ, believe in what he has accomplished for us through his death and resurrection. Now, when the Bible says believe, it does not mean a simple acknowledgement of a claim like saying, I believe in UFOs. That's not what the Bible means when it uses that word believe. When the Bible says believe, it means that there is a shift in our worldview, in the way we see and understand reality, and the purpose and the meaning of our life. We're trading in, literally trading in, whatever it is that we used to believe in and build our life on, depending on, clinging to, finding peace and security in. We're trading all of that in and exchanging it for becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, believing that he holds the answer to all of my questions, and he is the one that can truly rescue me from my fate. See, through his son, Jesus Christ, God has sent us the ultimate friend request. God wants to connect with you. He wants a relationship with you. He has done everything necessary to make that possible. But you need to respond to that request. You need to accept it. I said earlier that our sin broke the relationship between us and God. The person who can restore that broken relationship is Jesus Christ. Through his life, Jesus has taught us and shown us what God intends human beings to be. He has modeled human for us. He's given us the perfect example to follow, himself. He goes, you want to know what a human being should behave like, what a human being is supposed to look like, what a human being is supposed to act like? Look at me, Jesus says. Follow me. Walk in my footsteps. Practice what you see me doing. That's what God wants from every single human being. That's how he wants all of us to behave, like Jesus. Through his death, Jesus provided the perfect sacrifice for our sins. To make it possible for you and me to be forgiven for our sins and to be freed from our guilt before God, someone completely innocent and undeserving had to die in our place, receiving the punishment and judgment of God that we deserved. That innocent one was Jesus Christ. He willingly submitted himself to death for you and me. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For our sake he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus traded places with us when he was crucified. Through his resurrection, we too can experience resurrection and eternal life. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus says of himself, I am the living one. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. When Martha was weeping over the death of her brother Lazarus, this is what Jesus said to her. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am, Martha. I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. In John 14, 19, Jesus told his followers just before he was arrested and crucified, it says, "Yet a little while and the world will see me no more," talking about his death, "but you will see me," talking about his resurrection. "You will see me because I live, you also will live." In other words, because Jesus will be resurrected and has been resurrected, his followers will be resurrected too. Our need to connect, to be known, to be heard, to be seen, to matter, to belong, to be loved, can truly be met only in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what we're seeking. That's what we're seeking. We're almost done, believe it or not. I know some pastors, you know, on Easter Sunday, they think, "Ooh, I'm going to have a big crowd. I'm really going to give it to them this time." Make up for all that preaching they didn't sit through the rest of the year. So then they just wail on you for a couple hours, you know. We don't do that here. I actually make it shorter on purpose on Easter because you're not used to sitting for so long. I want you to have a positive experience. I want you to come back, see? I don't want you to go, "Man, that hurt. I am never coming back." Jesus Christ is God's friend request sent to each of us. But we aren't friends unless we accept. What Jesus Christ has done to reconcile the human race to God is not automatically applied to all people. It's only applied to those who respond, who believe, in the Bible sense of believe, in Jesus, who receive him into their life as their Savior. You can have the most important relationship you were created for, restored. Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven. You can have your guilt taken away. You can have a new purpose for your life. You can have that emptiness filled. You can have the hope of eternal life to look forward to. Romans 10, 9 and 8, Paul wrote, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." To begin this new relationship, you need to believe that Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice for your sins, and he came back to life to give you eternal life. You need to recognize and admit that you have sinned, living your life for yourself instead of for God. You need to repent, which means you need to change the direction and behavior of your life and start following Jesus Christ. You need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and begin to make you into the person he wants you to be. Now, if you want to be reconciled to God and begin this new life, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Our heads. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and came back to life on the third day to give me eternal life. Forgive me. Save me. I'm giving myself to you from this day forward. Come into my life and change me. Amen. Let's all of us pray together now in closing. Father, we thank you that you have reached into our time and space seeking after us, Lord. Seeking reconciliation with us, Lord. Sending your own Son to die for us so that we might live. Have our sin forgiven. Our guilt taken away. Have the hope of heaven. Lord, we thank you for your resurrection, Jesus. That you defeated hell, death, and the grave for us. We thank you for your rescue mission, Jesus. Father, I pray for every single one of your people this morning that we would this week, as we go through our life, be conscious and think about what great work you've done on our behalf, Lord. The expression of love that we see in it. Bless your people in the name of Christ. Amen.